Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. John Robinson out as the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. And, yes, Stillman and company will start at 2, but the suit's bringing him in just a little bit early because I know he's chomping at the bit to give his thoughts. And he and Derek may argue over something. He and Willie could argue. Who knows? I may argue with him. You never know. Jared, first, let's just start with the general question. How surprised are you at this move, John Robinson out as the GM of the Titans?
I'm shocked. I mean, I'm floored. I mean, I today somebody texted me about John Robinson being fired. I thought it was a joke. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was like, well, this may be a situation. And then the news broke that they fired him. And I will say, the one thing I keep circling back to is there's got to be something here that we don't know. There's got to be like one specific thing that we don't know. Because on the surface, was the drafting good as of late? No. Was the free agents and trades and AJ and Julio Jones and Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley, and was that good? No. But it doesn't make any sense when this team is going to make the playoffs to fire the general manager with a handful of games to go and basically tell the players, hey, the reason we fired the general manager is because you guys stink. Because that's what you're saying. Right? Like, the players aren't good enough on our team, so we're firing the general manager. But aren't you still trying to make the playoffs? Yeah. Aren't you going to make the playoffs? Yeah. Aren't you going to try to win in the playoffs? Oh, yeah. And it's like, wait a minute. What? Like, that's what doesn't make any sense. So I think there's something. I actually went back and listened to Vrabel's press conference yesterday again just to see if there was something in there that would have sparked like an argument inside the building between him and Robinson, or whether it was Amy saying something to Robinson and maybe the way Robinson said it back. This is a move that a bad franchise makes in just firing a general manager when you know you're going to make the playoffs right before the playoffs. So I was absolutely stunned by it, and I am convinced there's a handful of things we probably don't know about, that I think there's probably one thing that happened between the time they got to Philadelphia and 11 o'clock today that we do not know about.
Yeah, and look, you know, you and I have been talking. We've been texting. I've asked Teron. I've asked Hutton this. And you worked with Floyd for 5 years, and Floyd was always very professional about things, but it's well documented, the Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese rift that happened, and Floyd was ultimately the one that was out. To me, even though it wasn't as tangible, that, you know, you could see the rift towards the end between Jeff and Floyd, you couldn't really see that between John and Vrabel. It feels like that could be a part of what we don't know, that there was something behind the scenes and Vrabel won.
I think there was a rift for the last 3 years between those two. I felt like there was one in particular that I was floored by when John Robinson did a Zoom press conference right after the end of the season in 2020. And the big question then was, is the defense bad because the players aren't any good, like Clowney and Beasley and Daquan Jones and Casey had been let go and Logan Ryan wasn't there anymore? Were the players no good, or was it the fact that Vrabel didn't have a defensive coordinator and we didn't know who was calling the plays and the confusion and everything else? And a lot of people took their anger out on Shane Bowen, and then Shane Bowen got promoted, even though the defense was historically horrendous in 2020. And John Robinson was asked about it, and he just said, continuity. And it was hardly an endorsement. And it felt to me like I could start to see some of the finger pointing going on a little bit back and forth. But that's just kind of my own speculation. I felt like Vrabel and Robinson weren't as chummy as they were when he first got the job. But again, that's just my own speculation. But again, if it's a power struggle, why does this not wait until the end of the season? That's the thing that I don't understand. Like, this is what the Cleveland Browns do, except the Cleveland Browns are such a dysfunctional organization that they never win 7 seasons in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, this team goes to the playoffs every year, and I'm not saying that going to the playoffs and getting bounced and that's, you know, the goal or whatever, but, like, Derek, you know how this works. Mm-hmm. You know, I was stunned yesterday when Vrabel had his crossroads comment after the Eagles game about the season at a crossroads and the guys have to decide to trust the coaches, and I was floored by that because that's media talk. That's not what football people talk about. The way football people look at it is, hey, you know, we make the playoffs. We're playing the Miami Dolphins in the first round. We have to beat the Miami Dolphins. And then once we beat the Miami Dolphins, we have to play the next team in the next game. There's no, like, are they contenders or pretenders talk inside. That's not, that's media talk. That's TV. That's fans at the water cooler. That's not football talk. And I was stunned by that. And so this team's going to make the playoffs. And yet they fire the general manager a month before. It's not like Ryan Cowden is going to be able to draft a new offensive line between now and whenever they go find a new general manager. So that's what I know. Even if it was a power struggle, how does that not wait until the end of the year?
Well, I mean, Jared, I think this probably could have went one of two ways, obviously, with the way it went. Or it could have been, hey, listen, you know, we're going in another direction after the season. And John was like, listen, why do I need to wait after the season? I can leave now. Because I don't have any say. If you're telling me you're going to fire me at the end of the season, I have no say in what's going on from the day we spoke to the end of the season. So why am I here? So it could have been that. But, I mean, this is a situation for me with this team where it seems like all of the blame is being focused and put on John Robinson. And I get it. I understand some of it. But it shouldn't be that way. I think this should be, you know, blame starting from John Robinson all the way down to Mike Vrabel and even the coordinators. Because whoever you decide to hire moving forward, Vrabel is going to have a say in it. And if I'm a GM, I don't want to take the job when the head coach has a say in who's being hired and who's not. Because ultimately, if he's making the decision whether I'm hired or not, he has control over everything that I do.
Well, here's a question I'd ask you guys, all three of you. Do you want Mike Vrabel to be the general manager of the Titans? Do you think he's qualified to be the general manager of the Titans?
I think in looking at history, Jared, I have seen that happen many times going back to the beginning of the salary cap era. I'll throw out Mike Holmgren as one. Mike Shanahan is one. Most of the time, Dan Reeves is another one. More often than not, it doesn't work. Would we agree on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and I asked the three of you because I think it's a unanimous amongst the four of us.
Yeah.
No, right?
No.
Like,
yeah,
we don't
you're
want.
Right.
I think we get way too caught up, and I've been guilty of it, but we get way too caught up in anybody that sniffs the Patriots organization that they can become Bill Belichick and do the things that he's done. Bill Belichick, and by the way, how's it look since Brady left? Bill Belichick has done things that are never going to be done again. I just, this whole thought process of Vrabel can be like him, Vrabel played for him, he acts like him, yada, yada, yada. Did they learn some stuff? Absolutely. But to replicate that, and oh, by the way, Belichick has people that help him with that stuff. I mean, Floyd worked there.
Yeah, I'm not saying it can't work, right?
Yeah,
but more often than not, it doesn't work. It's not as easy as sometimes I think the coach thinks it is. And I don't know that Vrabel wants to actually have both titles, but it is sort of who has the final say kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that Vrabel, I fear that, and I think Vrabel's the best coach in the league. I fear that Vrabel is going to be, whatever title you want to give it, the director of picking the players. That whatever, some people call it president of football operations, some people call it general manager. New England, it's the head coach, you know, but the chief football operator is going to be Mike Vrabel, and I simply don't think he's qualified for that. So if it is as simple as this was a power struggle between Vrabel and Robinson, and now just like the Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese thing went down, which I think is one of the worst moves in the history of the Titans. Granted, I'm a little biased on that. But if Mike Vrabel long-term becomes the chief football decision maker for this organization, I'm out. Because I don't think that Vrabel's qualified to do that. And I also think that if there's anybody that thinks they can do it, and almost all of these guys think they can do it, mm-hmm. it's Vrabel.
I think the hardest thing about it is that as the coach, you are living for who's in my lineup on Sunday? Who is my... The general manager has to not only do that, but he's got to have an eye on the big picture. That's the toughest thing for a coach in the trenches, I think, to do. And I'll give you an example. Floyd Reese, he made some moves for the long term, and he didn't see the fruits of them until after he was let go. Kyle VandenBosch, Chris Hope, David Thornton. I mean, he made some really good signings, and it didn't work the first year, but down the road, they became very important pieces of a winning team on the rebuild. And I do think John Robinson, someday, he's going to take a look, and this will be part of his legacy. What does Treylon Burks look like in 3 or 4 years? 2 or 3 years, even. Same thing with Malik Willis. I mean, that's going to be his legacy, but he won't now be able to gain anything from that.
Well, I'm sure Vrabel is he's thinking, listen, this is my team. I want to be able to pick the personnel. This is my team.
The Bill Parcells.
My coach. I
want
to be able to
I want
pick
the groceries.
Person. Yes, after, I want to be able to shop and cook.
I'm going to cook the meal. That's the famous line.
I should be able to shop for the people and cook it too.
Bill Parcells.
So. Here's what bothers me, though, is the Houston Texans in 2019, when the Titans went to the AFC Championship game, the Houston Texans had a 24-0 lead in the divisional round against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the year before that, the offseason before that, Brian Gain, the general manager, got fired in the middle of the offseason in June, randomly, just like this. A shocking just, hey, general manager's out. And Bill O'Brien, who was absolutely not qualified to run that organization, took it over and immediately traded away all those first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. And 4 games into the next season, Bill O'Brien was fired because it was so bad. And the Texans are the laughingstock of the league and have been since the day they made that decision. Now, I think Vrabel's a better coach than O'Brien. I think Vrabel gets the NFL better than O'Brien. But at the same time, like, that's what I'm scared of today.
By the way, I've told Joe Rexroad that I blame him for this, for his Ohio State Vrabel article. But I do wonder if that was leverage at
perceived
all.
Leverage, if it's not real leverage, because I don't think there's anything real to that, but perceived leverage, you never know. Like, Lane Kiffin is the master of perceived leverage.
Sure.
You saw him use it to a T in what happened with him and that report, that false report about the Auburn thing.
Do you think that's a factor at all, Jared?
No, the Joe article?
Yeah.
I don't. I do think, though, that the public perception, and maybe it's spot on, maybe it's not, that the Titans always get more out of their roster than any team in the league, which is 100% the public perception. Now, I mean, I saw the game. When I watched the tape of the Eagles game, I mean, I see guys running wide open in the middle of the field, and Ryan Tannehill just doesn't even deliver the ball. I'm not really sure that's John Robinson's fault, but that is the perception, that Vrabel has these guys that are no good, and he coaches them up. And I do think that that can affect somebody's value system of, well, my general manager's drafting Isaiah Wilson, and my head coach is coaching him up, so I've got to go with my head coach over my general manager. But in theory, again, I remember being a junior in high school, and I knew even less then than I do now. And you guys knew way more about it at the time than I did, Willie, because you were in it on the media side. Derek, you played for these guys. But I remember telling my dad as a junior in high school when Floyd Reese got let go, and I didn't even know Floyd at the time, and I'm like, I don't like this move. Because it felt like those two had friction between each other, but sometimes that friction and tension is good. And I didn't want some yes man to come in here and just, whatever you want, Coach Fisher. And that's what happened. And that team, as soon as the Floyd players were gone, that team was terrible for 10 years. And that's what I'm scared of today as a Titan fan.
Jared, we'll be listening at 2 o'clock. Thanks for jumping on a little bit early to give some thoughts. But 2 to 7 today for Stillman and Company, as you'll have full reaction to John Robinson being out as the Titans GM. We'll be listening starting at 2 here on these airwaves. So appreciate Jared for joining us for a few minutes. We'll go back to your phones. A lot of you have been waiting patiently. 615-737-1025. Your reaction, John Robinson out as the Titans GM. But can you make parlays pop this holiday season? Win some money from Vegas with weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. If you place a 3-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. Rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Just download the Superbook app today and get your parlays going. If you're looking ahead to Sunday, the Cowboys laying 17 against Houston is obviously Houston not very good. Buffalo laying 9.5 against the Jets. The Eagles only a 7-point favorite on the road at the Giants. But you can check that out. And it looks like Superbook has the Titans as a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Jets. Download the app. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-789. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club. Love your hair. Live your life. Join 102.5 The Game this Thursday night at ML Rose Capital View at 431 11th Avenue North for Preds Watch Party as the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at 6. You can come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming home game. 615-737-1025. Your reaction. John Robinson out as Titans GM.
You know who I'm mad at?
Who?
Willie. Because he was just in his damn DeLorean, and he couldn't tell us this was going to happen.
You were like, just seriously. In the time machine.
Exactly.
You went to the future.
Exactly.
And you give me crap when I ask, hey, what does the rest of the division look like? You couldn't say, oh, by the way, they fired John Robinson.
Exactly, Willie. Goodness.
Come on, Willie.
I guess I wasn't quite that far into the future.
Something like that.
I was in the future up until yesterday.
Okay.
And went back to September 1st. I guess I should have stayed in the future for one more day.
Exactly.
Boy, would I have had a story to break. Holy cow.
Man.
Let's go to the phones. The people want to talk. And Terrence has been waiting very, very patiently. So let's go to Terrence on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Terrence.
Okay. I think the move and the timing was appropriate. And here's why. As far as the move, you know, in 2019, 2020, you know, when they had AJ and they had John Lewis Smith and they had, I mean, even Corey Davis, like that was the pinnacle of the offense. And since then it has regressed. And, you know, just to, you know, have it at the pinnacle and then to tear it apart, to be expected to put it right back where it already was, I mean, it's asking a lot. And then the timing, you know, I mean, you know, AJ Brown, you know, pretty much made them, you know, look like, you know, they made the worst decision possible, you know, and I think they kind of, you know, maybe, you know, Amy, you know, wanted to see what the other guy had before they long-term commit, you know, to, you know, during the off season to someone or, you know, before they go on a big search. So, you know, maybe they wanted to see what the other guy had, you know, before they turn the reins over to someone, you know, via a three-year contract or something. So I hang up and listen.
Thanks, Terrence.
Thank you, Terrence. The timing is, you know, we believe, and I think a lot of people believe the timing is bad. I you know, are we shocked? Yes. Would we have been shocked after the season or surprised after the season? Yeah, but it we would have, you know, thought, well, at least they didn't do it during the season. You know, how disastrous it could have been had they done it during the season. They waited till after the season was over with, and then they made their assessment of their team and the job the GM, head coach, and everybody was doing and decided, hey, listen, we need to go in another direction. I think Titans fans, that would have set well with Titans fans rather than doing it with five games left in the season. This roster isn't that good. Is a team that seems stagnant. It's a team that's at the crossroads, and I'm only repeating and quoting what their head coach said. We are at a crossroads. So with all of this going on, why then would you fire your GM with five games remaining in the season? I just don't get it. But, hey, it's her team. She can do whatever she wants
to. No question. And we do. That is the biggest part of this story is the timing of it in season as opposed to after the season. So let's put it to the test right now. What is the glaring thing right now? It is left tackle. Mm-hmm. They have not gotten a lot out of Dennis Daly. And the question is there anything better out there? And so now we'll see. They have an opportunity. They have a new GM.
Yeah.
If Mike Vrabel now has more say, we'll see if there's somebody else brought in to try to play left tackle. And it is not easy to play that position in this league, especially when you're joining in for the final third of the season. But that will be a case study. If there's somebody else lining up at left tackle in the next 2 weeks, then we'll know that was going on behind the scenes.
Let's go back to the phones. Adam wants to weigh in on John Robinson. Adam, welcome in.
Hey, buddy. Willie, you sound like you're related to him. Like, you seem like you're taking it more personal than the rest of them. I understand what you're saying, and I've listened to you for years. I think you're very smart. My only regret with this is that Downing is not in the unemployment line with him. Like, our team, we are wasting a generational running back with mediocrity. And clear across that roster, man, he's missed so much. I take it back even further to, like, the transition between Marcus and Tannehill. There's a lot of players that Conklin, Corey Davis, they could have gotten contracts that went on and have been playing well for other teams that could be playing well for the Titans. So it's not just misses in the draft. It's mismanagement of our drafted players as well. I don't miss it, man. I like the guy. I've had a chance to meet him a couple of times, but I feel like this is a really good move right now.
Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. You know, again, John has made some really good moves, and he's made some moves that were not good. And now we talked about this yesterday. Those moves that were made has put the Tennessee Titans in this position, whether they were solely the GM's moves or they were a collab between the GM and the head coach. And Adam was right. You go all the way back to Conklin, them not signing Conklin. You can go to Corey Davis. As much as people, you know, I don't understand why people didn't like Corey here. He was a number two, but I understand when you're drafted fifth overall, they want you to be a number one. Well, the Titans had a good 1-2 punch with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. And I do believe whoever made the decision to not sign A.J. back and to go and get Julio Jones, it helped make or cause Amy to, after that season was over, to think like, man, do we really have the right person in power at GM? Whether it was his decision or not, because I didn't hear Mike Vrabel go to bat for Corey Davis. I didn't hear Mike Vrabel go to bat for Jonnu Smith. I didn't hear Mike Vrabel go to bat for Jack Conklin. And these were guys that were critical to what you were doing, pivotal players in what you were doing.
And let me just make a reference to his comment on, you know, he feels like I know this guy personally or something. I do not. I don't know John Robinson other than when we've interviewed him, etc. And I think I'm pretty consistent on this, whether we're talking about the Predators, the Titans, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. All I try to do is try to get outside of the perspective of the bubble of the team. You can say that they are mediocre by your own standards. I'm pointing out that what they have done relative to the rest of the league is anything but mediocre. Is it the best? Is it elite? Never said that, no. But they are not mediocre. So I think sometimes that's what gets lost when we are talking only about, when we're scrutinizing under the microscope, just the team and our market. So that's all I try to do, and it's got nothing to do with which team we're talking about. I try to be consistent with it. How have they done relative to the rest of the league? And I think that's it. And the other part of it, it came up in the last hour, Derek. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people fail to understand these guys are people. Right, they know it's part of the job. They know it's the wind howls the higher you go up, right? They know they're subject to criticism, but I don't think sometimes people understand how hard it is to make these tough decisions and win a championship. It's not easy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 615-737-1025. We'll continue with your calls. And also a couple of thoughts from the text line on Vrabel being the coach GM. We'll discuss that coming up next. Our show is presented by Hair Club, and, you know, I've decided to use the fine people at Hair Club because it's thinning out a little bit up top, and, you know, maybe that's working with these guys on a daily basis, or Jared, who knows, but I need some help. So I've called on them for their extreme hair therapy, where they can maximize regrowth results while reducing future hair loss in just minutes a day. You can regrow the hair you love with EXT. Just go visit them at their center in Brentwood, Building 4 of the City Park Development on Franklin Road, just south of Old Hickory Boulevard, 278 Franklin Road in the Synergy Business Park, Suite 250. You can give them a call at 615-200-6601, and they will help you out and find the right treatment for you. Me, it's the EXT, Extreme Hair Therapy is the way that I'm starting my journey. As they've assessed me, I'll go in their center and they'll do some treatments there. Plus, I take a lot of the stuff home and do it from there. So if that's something that you think you need, give them a call at 615-200-6601. Go see my friends at Hair Club. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. John Robinson out as the Titans general manager. You know, we sit here and we talk about the personnel decisions. And I think if you're doing a true job evaluation of the two, of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you know, especially over the last few years, Mike Vrabel has certainly done a better job. But I think that we've had many discussions on, is Todd Downing the right choice as the play caller, as the offensive coordinator? Now, I think that that's going to become more prevalent now because Vrabel's won. Whether this was a battle or whatever it was, Vrabel's here, Robinson isn't. And so if he decides to keep Todd Downing, and it's my understanding the head coach hires his staff, I'm sure the GM has some say in it, especially early on, but the head coach makes the decision on his coaching staff, and Vrabel's earned that right. If all of a sudden you get better personnel in here and Todd Downing looks like Arthur Smith and looks like a genius, then okay, you can sit here and go, well, it wasn't Todd Downing. Todd Downing was actually okay. Mm-hmm. It was just you had bad players. All right, fine. But if you get better players and you get the players that you want and it still looks like crap, then what does that tell you? Is Mike Vrabel then going to be willing to make those decisions?
It's interesting. He got evaluated well enough to get a contract extension, right? Mm-hmm. So for all the flaws, they extended John Robinson's contract just, you know, not that long ago. So a lot changed, apparently, since that day. I think, Derek, too, if we're going to look back on it, and he still has some guys that we won't know about for a couple more years, namely Treylon Burks and Malik Willis. Those are the two guys that I think will be key as we look back. But I think, in a nutshell, didn't quite draft enough difference makers. Not quite enough difference makers to be an elite team. They were close, right? And now that his tenure's over, we can say they were, right? Even though we still have this season to play out. And then one of the guys that they did draft as a difference maker, they traded in A.J. Brown. So I think that ultimately was the evaluation.
Yeah, because you can't extend his contract in February and then fire him. I guess you can. But
they just
did. But it just looks odd that you give him an extension in February, both of them, head coach and GM. And then you fire said GM in December, less than a year later after you've given him. It's almost as if it was that Amy understood the power struggle. So she wanted to try to assure both guys, or at least Robinson, that he would be here. But it was apparent that after a while, it was apparent that Vrabel couldn't work with Robinson or vice versa. And she decided, I know I just gave you an extension, but you got to go, you know, because I am in the camp after talking with all these other owners and sort of feeling the temperature of the NFL world. Everybody's talking about how great Mike Vrabel is. Nobody's talking about how great John Robinson is. So I'm going to relieve you of your duties, John Robinson, but I'm going to keep Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, and I do think whether it was perceived leverage, I think, is a really good way to put it. Whether there was true leverage or not with the Ohio State stuff, Ryan Day's not going anywhere. They're not firing Ryan Day.
Why not?
Now, I said yesterday they're not firing John Robinson, and here we are.
Hold on. Why not? Didn't they fire Cooper because he couldn't beat Michigan?
Yeah, but he was like 1-7-1.
No. Did they fire Cooper?
Yes.
The last two times, Day has gotten embarrassed. They didn't get
but
beat.
They're in the playoffs.
No. But they didn't get beat. They got embarrassed by Michigan. And Michigan has the better roster. Now, last year, today, and they will have it next year.
So, okay, so do you think that there's some truth that, that maybe Vrabel's talked to people and they said, hey, if we did it, would you come? Yeah, maybe. And then he goes to Amy and goes, hey, Ohio State's calling.
Listen, these, and I know Joe wrote it, but these aren't stories that just come up out of the blue, especially I can see if it was just some guy trying to get clout or somebody trying to get some clicks. Joe's not that guy. I don't think Joe's that guy. So if he's writing a column,
yeah,
he's writing it based on maybe some things he's heard.
Sure.
And he's sort of putting it all together, but he has to make it a little bit longer. So, you know, you're adding different things that you believe. But Cooper got fired too. I don't know exactly what his record was overall, but being in that environment, the Big Ten environment, you knew that he couldn't beat Michigan. They got rid of him. There's one thing or two things you got to do if you're an Ohio State coach or a Michigan coach. You got to consistently, if you're a Michigan coach, you got to consistently beat Ohio State and Michigan State. If you're an Ohio State coach, you better beat Michigan. You better beat them. You bet not get embarrassed. And Day has gotten embarrassed 2 years in a row. And it doesn't, and his quarterback's leaving. You think he's getting any better?
Look, you may be right. You might be right. But I mean, I should be careful because I didn't think there was a chance in hell that the Titans were going to fire the general manager.
No. Yeah, you're right. None of us saw that.
I don't think any of us saw that.
Yeah. So, I mean,
here's a good question from the text line. Derek, as a player in a locker room, what's the talk? Like, what would be like?
You're shocked as a player.
Can you imagine what it's like in that locker room?
Because the players, they're there communicating with one another. They're there to you know, work on a game plan, practice, to try to make sure that they are in the best position to win a football game come Sunday or Monday or Thursday.
And I guess today is a day off for the team, right? So they may not be together today.
So when players, I'm sure you had guys texting one another out the blue, like, did you just see this? Like, I'm sure Ryan Tannehill has a million texts right now. Did you see this? You see what's going on?
Phones are blowing up.
Exactly. So as players, we're just as shocked as anybody else. We're like, how can she do this? And we still got 5 games left. Like, that's messed up. What did that say about us?
And John Robinson is not a guy who is detached sitting up in the office.
Exactly.
Like, he is with the players around them. They've seen clips.
I mean, he's been on the field.
On the field doing drills, right, to try to stay involved. So that is interesting.
Let's go to Tony real quick. He's been waiting patiently. Tony, welcome in.
Hello, guys. This is great radio talk today, no doubt.
Thanks.
Lots to talk about. As far as the timing, I don't care when it happened. It needed to happen. I've been saying it for the last 2 years, ever since 2020, with the defense debacle that went on back in 2020, I think, back then. He and Robertson and Vrabel were finger-pointing inside the building at that time. You go over some of the picks and some of the first-round picks that Robinson was a part of that have been a bust. We all know who they are, the left guard from Georgia. And Farley, I don't think Farley's ever panned out. You've got some of those things. He brought in Clowney and the other defensive end, paid them $21 million in the same year, and they got 4 sacks between the two. And the Julio debacle, I mean, it just keeps adding up and adding up. And then, as the previous caller said, the offensive line squanders. I mean, they have had a mess of right tackles they've let go. And then the Taylor Lewan, you gave him a contract extension, big one. He can't even stay on the field. I mean, it's just been a debacle after debacle after debacle. And I just think it's long overdue for him to go, whether it happened today, end of the season, it should happen sooner. That's just my opinion on it, and I know everybody's got one, but y'all have been right. But D-Mace, you are right on what you're talking about. I think they really need to take a long look at the offensive coordinator too, because I don't care what type of offensive line personnel we got in there, if we've got solid guys or if we've got this makeshift line, the imaginary and the imagination of play calling is horrible. It's a situational play calling. We know when Henry's in the game, it's going to be 2 yards, cloud of dust, or if he hopefully breaks one. And at the same time, when he's out of the game, no one's buying on the play action no more with him. And when he's out of the game, we know it's a pass play. So it's just, I think it's a big debacle in a lot of ways. Maybe we still make the playoff based on the division we're in, but after that, I don't look for much more, guys.
Thanks Tony.
For taking my call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. I want to ask you guys a hypothetical coming up next before we turn things over to Jared and Caroline. We'll do that. Chase Willie and D-Mace, John Robinson out as the GM of the Titans. 102.5, 106.3 the game. It's been a wild day, that's for sure. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Stillman and Company coming up in a few minutes. Full reaction continues. They're going to go to 7 o'clock tonight as the Titans have fired general manager John Robinson in a pretty unexpected move. But there's a few questions that come to mind as we move forward. Number one, how many GMs in the history of the NFL have been fired midseason with a winning record?
Leading the division.
Oh. Leading the division.
I have to believe it's – the NFL's been around for over 100 years. It's got to be less than 5. That would be my guess.
I don't know the answer.
This is a research question. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, but a general manager fired in the middle of the season, leading the division with the winning record, that cannot have happened very often. I'm talking about a history of a league that's been around for 100-plus years.
I mean, I'd have to go back and look. Yeah. I mean, and look, I'm it's funny. You sit here and you do this. Like, I'm exhausted after this day. But here's the other one. The hypothetical. To me, the pressure is now on one person.
Yeah.
It's Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. The pressure is all on him. Now, I don't think, you know, he's going to get – I'm not saying his job, but if there was a power struggle, which in some ways there had to be, he won. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, all right, big boy, you wanted your chance. Here you go. You have control. So what's he going to do with that? Now – there's only so much he can do the rest of the way, but I think Willie makes a good call. Is Dennis Daly going to be the right tackle moving forward? Mm-hmm. About to find out. You know, does he go and make
left tackle?
Does he go and make some changes there? Now he can. You know, he's the head coach. He decides who plays and who doesn't. But are there going to be roster moves that he's going to have his hands on along with Ryan Cowden the rest of the way? Okay, we're going to find out. Are those moves going to work? The coaching staff. I would assume that's on him, but does this put more pressure on Todd Downing that if he's going to fix the roster, okay, is he going to be a better play caller because of that?
Obviously, the pressure is on Mike Vrabel, but I don't think the pressure starts into the offseason. I think she's, you know, Amy has made up her mind with this season, however it goes. She's thinking more so long-term in the future. That's when the clock starts for him after the season when you're evaluating, I believe. But here's the question that nobody has asked or answered. We're sitting here and we're talking about all these bad, you know, picks that John has had, and rightfully so. But doesn't the head coach has a say in that too? As close as we talk about, oh, Vrabel and Robinson are joined to the hip. You know, Robinson hired Vrabel, and they work well together. You know, first couple of years, look at what they're doing for this organization, the players that they're getting. Don't you think that Vrabel had a say in what was going on, who was picked? Hey, Vrabes, this is what I'm thinking. This guy right here, Farley, I watched some film of him. I want you to watch some film of him, too. Come back to me next week. Tell me what you think. All right, fast forward to next Friday. So Vrabes, what you think about Farley? Should we draft him? I want to draft him, but you got to coach him. So what do you think? Well, coach, after watching film of him, I think he's good. I think I want to – let's make the move.
It's a great question.
All right, let's do it. Boom.
Well, look, you're going to know. You're going to know because if all of a sudden – and you're right, the off season is really when you're going to get – the true glimpse of what it looks like. But if all of a sudden Caleb Farley's not on the team anymore, Bud Dupree's not on the team anymore, mm-hmm. you know, some of these other players that it's kind of perceived that maybe he doesn't like, then I think you have your answer.
Yeah, and they have some enormous decisions to make at the end of the season. That was regardless of whether John Robinson stayed on as the GM or not. That's again, goes back to the timing. The most shocking thing about this is the timing in season.
Yeah, there's more to this than we know. But I mean, there has to be.
But
yeah.
we are all, not us, because I think we're trying to give both sides, but we have callers and texters that are pointing everything at John Robinson. And I don't think it should be that way. I believe that Mike Vrabel did have a say in who they drafted and who they didn't.
Yeah.
They had to work together.
And the COVID
exactly.
factor in there, too.
They had to have worked together. I could see if John was here, you know, 5 or 6 years before Vrabel got here. And he said, I get that. But he had only been here a year
mm-hmm.
before Vrabes got here. And he ended up firing a coach to bring Vrabel in.
Yeah.
So Vrabel's not – I'm not dismissing Vrabel from any of this. Especially not the roster.
Yeah.
I'm not dismissing him. Y'all may, not y'all too, but y'all may, but I'm not. He has a hand in this roster too and how it looks.
Sure, but what we don't know is how much say does he have, Derek? I mean, we don't know.
And that's the question that should be asked of Vrabel tomorrow.
I agree, and I'm curious of how – because he can answer it in a strategic way.
Mm-hmm.
He can give you an answer without, you know – Now, he may not care at this point about throwing – he could get up there and go, yeah, John had final say on everything.
He won't do it. I think press conference will be very interesting. I think Mike Vrabel will be very thankful, complimentary of the tenure of John Robinson, because ultimately John Robinson hired Mike Vrabel. He did hire him. And so I do very much look forward to hearing what he has to say about that whole thing.
Quickly, is – because I don't know in regards to the coaches and media. Media. Is this a mandatory day off for media? Like coaches, like mandatory? Because if it's not.
Typically because it's the off.
No, but if it's not, if I'm Vrabel, I'm trying to get everybody in the building today, the media people. So I don't have to answer these questions tomorrow.
Okay.
Because we start practice tomorrow.
It's one strategy.
So I'm getting everybody in the building. I got to answer these questions. I'm answering these questions. Whatever questions that y'all have for me, I'm answering them today, because tomorrow it's about my team. If you want to ask more questions, call Amy after that. But yeah. I'm answering them today. Because tomorrow, if that's the first day.
It's about the Jaguars tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's not going to be about the Jaguars tomorrow.
No question the way it is now.
Exactly.
You can have two press conferences.
Look, you can have a press conference this afternoon if you want to. Quite frankly, I want to hear from the owner. You know,
yeah.
I don't think
she'll take questions.
I don't care. I don't want a statement. I want to hear from the owner. There are occasions where the owner needs to put their owner pants on and walk out in front of the media.
You're right,
and
not
going to
happen.
Well, that's bull.
I don't think it's going to happen.
You're probably right, but it's bull. It is.
Here's another piece of perspective we got on our
show
today.
You made the decision to fire the GM. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. Another piece of perspective we got from today that I think is one that will sit with me. David Poyle said this about the two drafts, and you asked him a great question, Chase, on this. The two drafts that had COVID written all mm-hmm. over, 20 and 21. Those are two drafts that the Titans have had a lot of questions about, right? Mm-hmm. Isaiah Wilson, Farley, a lot of other picks in there. David Poyle said, and it's too early for the Predators to evaluate those two drafts yet. Time will tell. But he said, I think the teams that do well in that might be a little lucky. Right?
Yeah.
Because it was very, very different. So the legacy, that will be part of John Robinson's legacy.
I'll say this.
Was it bad or was it just a little unlucky?
I'll say this on the way out. A unnamed texter says, Suit, Jared has been watching Coach's film. Are you worried about losing him, as he is the obvious choice to be the next GM? Jared, look, man, if you get the call from Amy Adams Strunk to go be the GM of the Titans, good luck. Because we'll just say you suck like you always say everybody else sucks. So that's just what we'll do.
Great zinger on the way out.
Stillman and Company coming up next. John Robinson out as the GM of the Titans. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
And we out.